What? This world seems like it's being turned upside down, but you know, God's in complete control and he has a purpose for everything he's doing. Wouldn't it be amazing if he's getting ready to send his son to bring him home? Wouldn't that be something? Open your Bibles if you would tonight. Stay with me. We're going to go several places. We're going to end up in the book of Revelation if you want to stick your finger in chapter 4. But we're going to go several places in between. This morning we preached, and I told you, there's two things waiting on us in heaven. One is a guarantee. It's a surety. And that is the fact of our inheritance. Everyone shares equally in that inheritance. We get that from our sonship. But then there are also some things that we can send ahead, lay in store, that awaits us when we get there. Some people will have something waiting for them, rewards and crowns. Some will not. Also, some will have a greater privilege in reigning. Now, let me say this. In studying the book of a Bible of prophecy, the way I understand the order to be is that the next great prophetic event will be Christ calling the saints home. After that, there'll be several events takes place on the earth. If you want to get into that, that's from chapter 4 to chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. And there's a lot of other Bible supports certain things that goes on earth during that time. Affecting Israel and the saints that will be saved during that time. And of course, the lost and the beast and the mark of the beast and all those things that takes place. We're not too concerned with that because we won't be here if you're saved. When we are called away, the next event waiting on us is a judgment. The judgment is what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to talk about several things about that judgment. After the judgment, and every person is judged according to their works, then we are going to go to the wedding. There we will face the wedding of the Lamb, and we will participate in the wedding of the Lamb. Once the wedding is complete in heaven, Jesus is going to bring his bride back to the earth. That is a time when every eye will see him. That is a time when he will come and judge the nations. That is a time of the battle of Armageddon that we hear about. Then he will reign upon this earth 1,000 years. Some people says, I don't believe in the reign of Christ. Well, you need to get in the Bible and study a little deeper. The reign of Christ is the fulfillment of the kingdom that Jesus came and was, and the Messiah was going to bring in upon the earth. And he will reign 1,000 years, and he will do what he is going to do and set things right as the Messiah on the earth. And he will reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. And then this earth, as we talked about this morning, will be destroyed. A new heaven, new earth will be brought about. Everyone who will ever be lost will be cast into hell. Everyone who is saved will go and will dwell on the new earth or the new Jerusalem that will be coming down, the new city. There will be nations upon the earth during that time, Revelation 21. And so, anyway, we don't want to get into a lot of prophecy, but I said that to say this. We that are saved, we have the opportunity of having a position of reigning with Christ. Look with me in a couple places, if you would, real quickly, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to go quickly, so stay with me. Verse number 12, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also what? Reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. Now, people said, well, that we're all going to reign with him. If you're unfaithful, you're going to lose your position. Look, if you would as well, in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible is talking about that 1,000 years that he will reign. Look what it says, if you would, in verse number 4. John said, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived, and what? Reigned with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not, that's the lost, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, because there will be some lost that will be established during the millennial reign. Look on in verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power. Now we talked about this morning, second death being the fact of the being cast into hell. That's a second death. But look, read on. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him what? 1,000 years. Now look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 19. Real quickly, Matthew chapter 19. And I'm going to come back to this thought in a moment, but I just want to throw a couple verses out. Look, if you would, in verse number 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, this is Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Somebody said, well, if we're all going to inherit that in heaven, why should we do anything else? What's in it for us? That's sort of what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, we've done this, Lord, what's in it for us? Look in verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, this is his disciples, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter number 19. In Luke chapter number 19. And by the way, Matthew chapter 19 we just looked at was the parable of the penny that Jesus had gave. And that's what instilled Peter to ask those questions. Here's a parable of the pounds. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. And it came to pass that when he was turned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because I have been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Now, here he's talking about and giving a parable of pounds. When we, as faithful, and by the way, turn your Bibles, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 22 real quickly. There will be a time when Christ reigns upon this earth. We will have an opportunity to reign. Our faithfulness here before Jesus comes will affect the way and the position of where and how much we reign with him on the earth. In other words, some here may reign over many cities during the reign of Christ. Some may few. Some people say, well, isn't that talking about the eternal heavens, when we get to heaven and streets of gold and all that? No, God the Father and God the Son shall reign eternally there, and we will all rejoice with him. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 22. Notice, if you would, in verse 12. The Bible says, Jesus said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my what? Reward is with me to give who? Every man according as his work shall be." Now, the Bible talks of several judgments. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, if you're lost and won't know where your judgment is, it's the great white throne judgment related in there. When you get through being judged of your works, it will determine the degree of punishment you will receive, and you will be cast in lake of fire. And even at the very best, it will be suffering, torments forever and ever and ever and ever. There is nothing good and no good position in hell. It's all a horrendously torment that's beyond imagination. So don't think that you're going to go there and find favor with God. Even the very the one that gets the lightest sentence is going to have something that's so overwhelming, it's crazy. And you say, well, is there scripture for that? Well, as I said this morning, Jesus told the people of Capernaum that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, it would be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than it will for them, because they had a whole lot more witness and opportunity, and he taught them, and they had no excuse for rejecting him. Now, looking, if you in Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Now, notice what Jesus is saying when he was preaching a Sermon on the Mount. I'm laying some groundwork. I'll get to it here in a minute. Good thing Sister Mills sung. I was going to preach for 2 hours tonight. I cut it to an hour and a half after she sung, just to reward her for singing. Matthew 5, verse number 11. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your" what? Reward where? In heaven. "For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, I could go several places in Matthew, but I'm going to leave it right there and say enough's enough of that. Now, turn, if you would, to 2 John real quickly. 2 John. I know I'm flipping you around a lot, but you need to practice in your Bible, and so do I. So, 2 John. The thing about reward is this. You can earn rewards, listen to me, but you can lose rewards. Look, if you would, in verse 8. "Look to yourselves." In other words, if you lose them, it's on you. You can't blame nobody else. "Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought," in other words, things which we have earned, "but that we receive a full" what? Reward. Look, if you would, over in Revelation chapter number 3. Notice verse number 11. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou" what? "Hast." In other words, that which you've got, "and that no man take thy" what? "Crown." Don't earn something and let somebody take it away from you. Amen? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 14. Now we're fixing to get into the meat of the message. Stay with me a minute. Romans 14. The lost will go before a great white throne judgment. The saved will go before what the Bible refers to as the judgment seat of Christ. In Greek, it's called the Bema. The Bema in Paul's day was where they would pursue certain activities, sports, compete against each other, and the judge was set up on a high seat, elevated. And those that were victors would come before the Bema seat and receive stephanos, or crowns. And they would receive rewards for being victorious in their feats. Several times in the New Testament, Paul refers to the Christian life as running a race. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You also find that in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. that he refers to that and a couple other places. Philippians chapter 3, you know, he said he keeps his eye, he runs that race that's before him. And so several places throughout the scripture. So as a Christian, you are running a race to receive crowns to be victorious. Now remember what we just read. In running this race, you can allow people to take, get in your way and take the crowns from you. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 14. Let me get over there. I told you to get there, and I'm not there. Romans chapter 14. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall what? All. What does all mean? All stand before the judgment seat of Christ, talking about saved people. He says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion fall in his brother's way. Now look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, real quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 10. Again, to the Christian people, notice what it says. For what? We must what? What does all mean? Everybody who's saved, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. In other words, bad things will take away. Now, let me say this. We're not there to determine if we're saved. That's already been determined. You won't be there if you're not saved. We're not there to see if we're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. That's part of your inheritance. You're there to see if you're going to receive a reward. What we preached this morning was your inheritance. This is what you earn above and beyond your inheritance or the capability you have of earning it. Now, knows that we'll all have to stand and give an account. Look, if you turn back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And by the way, you're not there to be punished for your sins. Your sins was dealt with on the cross of Calvary. And when, as a saved son of God, then he chastens you, as we talked about this morning. Look, if you would, in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. Begin reading with me in verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. In other words, the Bible says first you got to have the foundation of Jesus. That's what saves you. If you don't have Jesus, you're lost. Once you have Jesus, then you have the capability of building something for heaven on top of your salvation. And he classifies it in six words. Gold, silver, or six things. Precious stones, and then wood, hay, and stubble. Now, somebody said, what is gold, silver, and precious stones? Well, we've got several scriptures that we can look at. We may look at a few of them if we have time. If I can get it all in within an hour and a half, we may get back in some of those. But the point being is this. In all reality, gold, silver, and precious stones are things done for God and His glory and has eternal effects. Got it? Wood, hay, and stubble are things done on this earth, worldly, that has temporary effects, that has no bearing upon heaven and eternal things. Okay? Now keep that in mind as we go through. Now, you need to understand, look if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Now let me say this. In the past, God dealt with you as a sinner. In the present, He deals with you as a son. At this judgment, read verse 2. Moreover is required in what? Stewards, that a man be found what? Faithful. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 4, real quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians. We're coming back. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as what? Stewards of what? Manifold grace of God. In other words, you are stewards. A steward is someone that the owner has given you certain things of his to oversee. You have full liberty to deal with those things in his absence as his steward. However, you will give an account to him on what you've done with those things. Let me use Eric back there and Holly. How many kids you got? Five? Children are a heritage of the Lord. They're his. They have been given five children by the Lord. They say, they're my children. They're his children. All of them's got an angel that stands before God and gives an account what's going on in their life. Eric and Holly may be their parents, but they have been given, the stewardship of those children. Now, we have things, give me your Bible a minute. We have things here that are taught to us on how to raise our children that has eternal effects, Brother Rick. In other words, there are certain things that we can instill in our children that will bring us reward. Because God told us this is how he wants us to raise our children in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. He tells us how to go about doing certain things. And if we are faithful to that, and it may be that you didn't have a natural child, but you may have had an adopted child. And you may have had other children come into your life that God has made you a steward of. And therefore, he requires of you for you to act on his behalf of what he's loaned you and allowed you to oversee on this earth. You're not only a steward of the children, you're a steward of certain things of yourself, your own possessions, you are a steward of your money. And we could take time and show you that, where he tells us that we are to be good stewards of his money. And what, by the way, the word tithe, and when you study it, means that we recognize that our money is God's. Everything we have is because God let us have it. We owe it all to him, and therefore we don't give our money to him. We just give a portion of his money back to him, and he lets us use the other and be good stewards of what he would have us to do. We give an account unto God for everything that we have been made stewards of. Somebody said, well, I run a department that's got 50 employees. You have been given the stewardship by God to oversee 50 employees. He tells you how to be a good employer, and therefore he holds you accountable. Now, as a steward, when you stand before God, you will give an account to God, not by your sonship. Your sonship has earned you inheritance. Your stewardship will earn you rewards and positions of reigning in the kingdom to come. Now, look back in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember the wood, hay, and stubble? If you raise your children, and all you ever instill in your children is worldly things. Oh, I want you to be like Hollywood. I want you to look like Hollywood. I want you to be popular. I want you to do this. I want you to get much money. I want you to... And never do nothing for
for God and the glory of God and eternal, even though you might be saved, you receive no reward for your children. And your children may very well die and go to hell because of your actions. You were such bad stewards of what God has given you to do. Now stay with me a minute. Notice if you would in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse number 12. You know it's going to get hot when I take my coat off. Now notice here, he says, if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, made known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. What is the fire? Well, Jeremiah says the word of God is fire. Jesus said in John 12, 48, he came not to judge the world, but the word he spoke shall judge you in the last day. You say, what will we be judged? What will we be judged with? You better get in there and read it. You say, I don't know what the Bible says. Well, you're going to be judged by it anyway. And so therefore, you better get into the book. And you better understand, because your works will be judged according to what he said, how to perform. Look here. When he said, as stewards, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. You have a choice. Look on. Now, notice if you would, in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for they shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. For God's glory or for worldly things and temporal things. Okay, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Whoa. Look in verse 15. And by the way, some people tries to take this and tries to teach that this is purgatory. But it's not some person that's going to be put in the fire. It is the works that's going to be tried in the fire. No such thing as purgatory. That's a made up thing to enrich certain others. Look in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall what? Suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by, you're not going to hell, but man, it's going to be a sad day for you. Suffer loss. What's that loss going to be? I don't know that I could tell you everything it's going to be, but I'll tell you this. After God's grace has saved you, you are a steward of the manifested grace of God to you. And if you do nothing for God's glory after you have saved, and you stand before that judgment seat and everything that you've done is burnt, you're going to suffer loss. And when God says you're going to suffer loss, I assume it's going to be a great hurt. Somebody said, well, I thought he's going to wipe away all tears from my eyes. That comes later on down the line when a new heaven, new earth comes along. This comes in judgment time. Okay? Look here. Now, picture this a minute and think about this. As stewards, what we do is we have to give account. Now, we have to understand that this fire tries us. Turn back, turn if you would. Let me take you real to five places real quickly and show you. The Bible talks about some crowns that we can earn. I know most of you have seen these. I'm not going to spend much time on it. But turn your Bibles real quickly with me if you would. The first one I want to go to is Corinthians chapter number 9. Notice verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. And now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not so as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself may be a castaway. In other words, what he says, his crown that he's talking about, this incorruptible crown, is a crown that you run by temperance.
Temperance means self-control. In other words, you keep yourself in self-control. If you want to earn a crown when you get to heaven, then you control yourself. You have the ability to control yourself during your Christian race. You have to do that. You have to discipline yourself. It's easy to say, I just want this, and run out and just get everything that you want. But that's not going to receive you that crown. The second crown, look if you would in James chapter number 1. In James chapter number 1, the Bible's talking about in verse 2 and 3 that we fall in divers temptations and trials. But then if you look on down, if you would, in verse number 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the what? Which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In other words, those that are able to face temptations and overcome those things, be victorious in those things, then that's a crown of life. And many people that will be martyred. If you look in Revelation chapter number 2, in verse number 10, the Bible says this, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful in death, and I will give thee a crown of life. In Revelation 2:10. And so that is one that endures temptations and even faces temptations up to trials up to taking life, being martyred, and giving your own life. Not only that, but there also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have a crown of rejoicing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, now stay with me, I want to go one more place with this thing before I finish up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice if you would, in verse number 19, Paul said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Look if you would in Philippians chapter 4 real quickly. Philippians 4:1. Turn back just a few pages. Philippians 4:1. Says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy, my what? Crown. In other words, this crown is given if you win souls. Let me ask you this. How many souls have you been a part of winning to the Lord? What's waiting for you in heaven? Look on. Then we have in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look if you would in verse chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of what? Righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that also what? That's those that lives and loves his appearing. They're living like he's coming back again. They're looking forward to his coming, and they're wanting him to come. They're not all wrapped up in the world and wanting just live with the world. They're looking for him to come. They're living their lives. Last one. Look if you would in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I know most of this you've known probably, but I'll cover it for maybe somebody listening that doesn't know. Chapter 5, look on if you would. In chapter 5, notice if you would, in verse number 1, this is talking about the elders, talking about the preachers and so forth. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am my elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker of glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, shall appear, ye shall receive a what? Crown of glory that what? Fade not away. Now that's a crown of glory that's given to those who are our preachers and so forth, that's faithful in the ministry in which they've done, of not being lord over God's heritage, but
but leading this, the flock and feeding the flock and doing the things that need to be done. You say, well, that doesn't affect me. I'm not called to preach. But in Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says, he that receiveth a prophet in a prophet's name shall receive a prophet's reward. In other words, have you been faithfully supporting the pastor? Have you been praying for the pastor? Have you been lifting the pastor up? And have you been doing your part to help him do his part? You understand what I'm saying? And when you are, then that's faithful. Now turn, if you would, real quickly, Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to cut this down a little bit. I've taught on this before, on the 24 elders, and I'm not going to get into a deep discussion with it, but I want to show you a couple things real quickly. Now remember, we've talked about five crowns as possible, that's as rewards. We're talking about things that you receive as stewards at the judgment seat of Christ, or you might lose them. If you don't look to yourself, and don't let nobody else take them away from you. And so now, look if you would, in Revelation chapter 4. In chapter 4, the Bible says, in verse 6, and I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders. Now somebody said, who's the elders? Well, we're going to see in a minute, six times that word's used in the Bible. Never is it used for angels or creatures. It's always used for men. By the way, now, notice you would, and we're going to see something in a minute. It says, and stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Look in verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. And every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung, where am I at? Am I in chapter 5? I had you over in chapter 4. Let me take you in chapter 4 a minute. I took you wrong place. Look in chapter 4 real quickly in verse 4. I'll come back where I'm at. Look in verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and the seats I saw were 24 elders, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads what? Crowns of gold. Now, these 24 elders, let me give you this real quick and I'm going to get on. These 24 elders, the number 24 is representative. 24, if you go back in the Bible, David appointed 24 courses of priests. They represented the whole complete priesthood of Israel. The number 24 means the whole complete government of it. And so when God uses 24 here, he is using that. Now, if you notice in 24 as well, it means to be all-inclusive, not losing a one. Now, also, if you go, keep your finger right there a minute, go with me in Revelation chapter 21 real quickly. Revelation chapter 21. I know I'm jumping you around. Chapter 21, but I'll clear it all up in just a minute. I apologize for reading the wrong place. I got ahead of myself. Revelation chapter 21, look if you would in verse number 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And having the glory of God in her light, like unto a stone most precious, even jasper stone, clear as crystal. And a wall, great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and a name written thereupon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now notice, it had the 12 apostles of the New Testament, the 12 tribes of the Old Testament, the complete everyone that has been saved, that's part of the saved, heaven's made up of. They are representative, being 24, 12 and 12, being 24. Now, go back, if you would, into the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, we find the 24 elders again. It says, 24 elders fall down before him that sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their what? Where? Okay, these 24 elders that John saw were there with these four beasts. And these 24 elders, remember, elders was never angels in the Bible. They're always men. And they take their crowns. They have crowns that they've earned. Stephanos, not diems. That is a royalty. That's not the word he uses. He uses the crown like you win when you're victory over winning a race or a sporting event, just like it was over in the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. They take their crowns, they lay them at the feet of Jesus. These 24 elders, stay with me a minute. And so here, these 24 elders that we see John sees represented, does that. Now notice in verse 11 of chapter 4, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." When they lay their feet, or their crowns, at the feet of Jesus, their testimony is, Jesus, everything that was created by you and for you. And of course, Colossians tells us that, right? That's why he is to have preeminence, because everything was made by him and for him. Look on, chapter 5. Now we'll get to the place where I had you while I was reading, where you couldn't find me a while ago. Look at what in verse number 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book," that's the seven sealed book, "out of the right hand of him that sat upon the earth." Remember, nobody was found worthy to open it. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." So now, these 24 elders, when Jesus begins to open the book, and by the way, that book is where Jesus is going to take back the power of the earth. Satan will no longer be the god of this age, the prince of the power of the air. What Adam lost, being the first Adam, the second Adam's going to gain. And when he takes back the earth, he's going to reign upon this earth as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's going to be the way it should have been from the beginning, and he's going to set it up to do that. He has ability, the Lamb of God, because he gave his life to do that. And so the 24 elders, the prayer of the saints is all the prayers saying, "Oh, we look forward to the time when Jesus comes and reigns, and this old wicked world is conquered, and the enemies are put under his feet." And see, that's all the prayers that we've been offering. We prayed that in this church many, many times, and many other saints around the world prayed it. And look, you say, "Well, God didn't answer." Oh, he's going to. He's gathered those prayers, and he's going to pour them out that time. And these 24 elders has got them waiting on this period of time. You know why? It came from people just like them. How do I know that? Look on in the next verse. Look in verse number 9. "And they sung a new song," who? The 24 elders, "saying, Thou art worthy to take the book," talking to the Lamb of God, "and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast what?" Has what? These 24 elders has been redeemed. How were they redeemed? By the blood of the Lamb. This is not creatures. This is not some creator or some creature somewhere. This is not some angels. Angels were not redeemed by the blood of Jesus. This represents us. Now look here. And so here he says, "For thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made unto us, our God, kings and priests, and we shall" what? Oh, there he goes again. We're going to reign on the earth with him. Now, I could take you to chapter 7, chapter 11, chapter 14, and in one other chapter, I think it's, I can't remember now, I won't say because I can't remember which one. And it talks about the 24 elders. But I'm not going to spend any more time with that because I want to conclude this. Why should I care? I don't know everything. Just like this morning, our inheritance is beyond our ability to understand what God has prepared for us. Our eyes haven't ever seen anything like it. Ears hasn't never heard anything like it. Neither has even entered into our heart, our imagination, what God had prepared for those that love him. You don't know right now, when we get before the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus will be a fair judge. Our works will speak for themselves. When we stand before Him, we will leave there, and we have nothing. It's because we earned nothing. If we leave there with crowns, and by the way, each of those crowns, we could have went several scriptures and showed you rewards that God gives for winning souls, for doing this, for doing it. But what will happen if we have crowns? You say, well, if I had my crown, I'd walk around and show it off. When we get our crowns, then we look at the Lamb of God. And when we see Him in His position as a lamb that was slain, everybody up there is going to take everything that they've earned and get the privilege of laying it at the feet of Jesus and saying, Thou art worthy. We were created for You. We would have had nothing had it not been for You. We would have been in hell had it not been for You. We will not be praising grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, husband and wife, Preacher Jones, Preacher Miller, Preacher nobody else. We will be lifting our voices to the Lamb of God. And I believe one of the greatest losses that you'll ever have is be standing there redeemed by His blood, and everybody going to the throne laying their crowns, and you're standing there empty. And by the way, there's going to be another loss. When we get through reigning with Him for 1,000 years, 1 Thessalonians says in chapter 4, says when He comes to catch away the saints, that those which are alive remain should be caught up together and meet Him, should be changed. Or those that come with Him, they're dead, shall be. Let me get quoted. For dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught together and meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That means wherever the Lord is, that's where we're going to be. When the Lord's in heaven, we're going to be in there. When He's at the marriage supper, we're going to be there. When He comes back to the earth to reign, we're going to be there. When He reigns, we're going to be reigning. What will we be reigning over? I just want to use this as an illustration. This is not biblical. Are you going to be in there somewhere washing dishes while everybody else is reigning over cities? Because you had nothing? Are you going to be ashamed for 1,000 years because you have nothing to show? And let me ask you something else. After the 1,000 years has expired, Satan's going to be loosened for a little season. Then what's going to happen is he's going to be loosened for a little season, and he's going to go out to the four corners of the earth, Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. And he's going to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, and he's going to bring them against the camp of the saints. That's us. And what he's going to do is when he does that, he's going to bring them to destroy us. And the Bible says that they're going to be an innumerable number of people is going to do that. Then God's going to send fire down from heaven, destroy them, and take Satan and cast him in the lake of fire in verse number 10, chapter 20. And there he's going to be tormented forever and ever. And in the very next verse, listen to me, stay with me a minute. In the very next verse, he says, John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fell away, and there was found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before him. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged. Now look here. He saw all the lost come. Paul asked a question to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When they were having issues and they were taking each other to court, suing each other in court, instead of dealing with it in the church, when it was a matter of churches handled, he said, know ye not that ye shall judge the angels? Then he said, know you not that you will judge the world? What was he talking about? Remember, wherever Christ is, that's where we're going to be. Now, where is Christ? At the great white throne judgment. He is sitting there judging all the lost, all the dead, small and great, stand before him. And they're going to be crying out. They're going to be begging. And they're going to be bowing their knee. Those proud people that cursed him and blasphemed him and swore against his name, they're going to be bowing their knee and confessing him as Lord. Even the old devil himself and all the other angels, fallen angels that followed the devil, going to fall before him, and they're going to announce him as Lord. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow. But look here. I think part of the suffering loss, you're there judging the lost with Jesus. What if you've been a bad steward as a parent? And now, you're standing there and Jesus is judging and all lost and they're doomed. Their name's not written in the book of life because they're dead. Now they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And there comes your son. And you were so busy buying him all the latest shoes, sending him all the best schools, worried about his job, worrying about him being popular, worrying about, and never once concerned about his soul. Oh, you made it by the skin of your teeth. You didn't go to hell, but you're going to suffer loss. And you say, well, I thought with tears. No, the tears gets wiped away here in a little bit. At the new heaven. New heaven's not got there yet. And by the way, former things has not got been erased yet. And when you see your children walk down and you see them cast in the fire, and I don't know if they'll look at you and say, you never told me. But I'll tell you this, you will suffer great loss. Can you imagine what that would be like? Therefore, what we need to understand is this. We need to be good stewards. We only have one lifetime to do it. And what we do is we either earn or lose rewards as stewards. Oh, we receive the inheritance. You'll have a glorified body. You'll have the streets of gold. You'll never be sick. All those things we preach about this morning is everybody's who's saved. But crowns and rewards are only those who earned them. And so therefore, there's one thing better than going to heaven. And that is better going to heaven and having a reward waiting for you when you get there. Amen. So tonight I want to share with you the difference between crowns and rewards and inheritance. Inheritance is through the sonship, relationship. Rewards is through stewardship. And so therefore we will all be judged according to what God has given us. If he's given you two legs, y'all use it for his glory. Two ears, use it for his glory. Two eyes, use it for his glory. And God will have a reward for those who are faithful. Let me close with this illustration and then we'll sing. I saw a missionary from Russia come one time when I was a young boy. I've never forgotten it. And this woman, she begged them to let her write the Sunday school lesson. And her whole body was deformed. The only thing she could move is her digits, her toes and her fingers. And they had to hold a paper up for her to write the Sunday school lesson. And it took her 6 days, 10 to 12 hours a day to write the Sunday school lesson for that week. 6 days, 10 or 12 hours. She could only move her finger. And every time they showed the picture of her there, she had such a smile on her face because of the privilege of doing a Sunday school lesson for the Lord. And I thought, my goodness, we've got hands, eyes, feet. We need to be good stewards. Amen. Good song, brother.